There is something spiritual coming out here just right now. Luke, the first chapter, and I'm going to read a couple of verses. And thought about yesterday, a thought, there's a couple of thoughts, but how to unscrooge yourself this Christmas season. Look at your neighbor and say, no, bah, humbug. Scrooge has been one of those things that I remember from when I was a child, and the movies, and from the black and white going on. And now there are several churches that do a production called The Gospel According to Scrooge. In fact, many, many years ago, when Pastor Barbara was my assistant, they couldn't be here this morning, but we drove to Kentucky to watch that, and John Price played the part of Scrooge, and one of the most incredible acting I've ever seen in my life on a Christian stage. And my sister's church now does that, The Gospel According to Scrooge. It's quite a production, a musical, 3 hours. So if you think it was hard doing this, just imagine, people, 3 hours for 2 weeks. And but it's an awesome presentation about how Christ came to Scrooge. So look at your neighbor again and say, no, bah, humbug. Christ is our hope. And Christ, the Messiah, our hope is in Him. And in about 25 minutes, we'll end with that song, and we'll prepare to take communion as a church family on this very holy day. But I wanted to read from Luke, the first chapter, and verse 26, something that's familiar. But let's read, and then let's pray over this. But in 26th verse, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Everyone say Nazareth. That's an important point in this devotional this morning. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Anyone is favored if the Lord is with you. Someone say amen. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Meaning she couldn't figure out. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And his name shall be called Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Sorry, sometimes it hits me so fresh. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Such powerful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for laughter. We thank you, Lord, for community. We thank you for worship. We thank you for these moments as we prepare our heart for Christmas communion, Lord, that we would pause and see fresh and new the holiness. The absolute miracle of this story and what it speaks to each one of us in the desires of our hearts, for our children, for our families, for our parents, for our future, for our community, for our church. Lord, this miracle would not be overlooked. Open our hearts, Holy Spirit, as only you can. We sequester our minds right now, Lord, not to think about this afternoon or tomorrow, but we call this holy ground as we look fresh and anew at the miracle of this passage and what it speaks to each child of God in this room. Let our hearts awaken and let us hear from heaven. In Jesus' name, and they all said, amen. Most awesome and powerful thing about this and about it even coming to the point of Nazareth, that's one of my favorite lines. Having studied the Word of God, I want to encourage you what this passage speaks to you and I this morning before we take communion. It speaks so many powerful things because Nazareth was the dead end of the universe. In fact, when Christ began teaching and they said, who is this? So this is the son of Mary. He's from Nazareth. The common statement that you will remember is, can anything good come out of Nazareth? The miracle of God choosing that Christ, Mary, would be found in Nazareth and the promise would be spoken there, and there is where she would carry him in her womb, except for the time she's at Elizabeth's house, is because Nazareth was not the spiritual center of activity, but the promise came there anyway. The promise came to Nazareth, just as it had been said in the Old Testament, that the promise would come to Nazareth and it would find Nazareth, because God had chosen it to be so. the promise that we find in that this morning as we're working through this season and trying to unscrew ourselves and get the bah humbug off of ourselves is because often what we focus on is like what I said in the prayer, we focus on the things we think we need and that others need instead of focusing and celebrating on all the things that we have received. The promise and the encouragement we find in this passage of Nazareth is that Nazareth was not the center of spiritual activity, but the promise of God came to Nazareth anyway because God chose it to come. To me, that speaks so loudly because God was saying through that passage to each one of us in this season that when God chooses to do something, when God decrees to do something, when God makes you promises, no matter how long ago, God brings those promises home. He brings them to pass. He brings them to fulfillment. The incredible thing about the story of Christ that we find is that there were so many unbelievers. There were so many people that were not looking for the Messiah, so they didn't see the Messiah, but he came anyway. There are around us as individuals, as families, as a community, as a church, as a nation, as a state, many who are not believing in the promises of God, pouring out his presence and his spirit and his miracles. But guess what? God said in the last days he would, so God will bring forth his promise in spite of those who don't believe that God can or that he will. Oh, somebody praise him, for I take off preaching in this little devotion. God came. He sent the Christ in spite of those who didn't believe. Yes, there were those who were believing. It says that there was a man named Simeon who devoted himself to the temple of God. In fact, it said he devoted himself and God told him, "You will not die, Simeon, until you see the consolation of Israel." Consolation means the comfort, the giving of the promise to Israel. Oh, I don't know about you, but I do believe in my spirit that it was a comfort to those who are believing when the Christ child was born, whose kingdom would never end. And I know that when promises are fulfilled in your life, line upon line and precept upon precept, they will be a comfort and a joy and a strength. For hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a promise fulfilled gives life. When a promise is fulfilled, you have energy and strength to run through a troop and leap over a wall. That's why King David, when he was out fighting against God's enemies, he felt the power of God come over him because the promises were fulfilled, and he said in the middle of battle, "I'm so courageous, I feel so strong, I could leap over a wall and I could run through a troop." Let me tell you, some of you that feel a little lethargic, you feel a little overwhelmed, you feel a little bit like, "I don't know if I have the physical or emotional strength to put one foot in front of the other," let me tell you that when God comes to fulfill promises, God awakens vitality and energy and brings forth life that you never dreamed of. Oh, somebody give God a shout in this house this morning. There were those who were believing. There were those who were looking, but God bypassed them. What I love about the very famous verse in this passage that is a very, very tender verse to me because it's what God spoke to me when I was divorced, living at 740 Walker Street by Lee University. What he spoke that December before that January at such a low point. I touched on that Wednesday night. I'm not going to touch on it today, but I always remember that because so many humbling things happened to me. And I find in Scripture, and I found through those that I love and I've partnered with in this pilgrim journey called the Kingdom of God, that often before God exalts you, you will feel a humbling. You'll feel a humbling through your weakness. You'll feel a humbling through your circumstance. Sometimes God will allow all to think contrary about you and what could happen. People looking at me looked at a little girl in December of 1983 who was working three jobs, going to school, who had been cast away by many because I was divorced, but loved by many too. I was on the homecoming court at Lee. I was several things in clubs and all that. Yeah, but there was a lot of people that looked at me and thought, "Wow, she's got a gift. but it'll never be used. But you know what? I remember God saying to me in December 1983, and often in this month, God has said it to me, don't worry about feeling humbled. Don't worry about feeling less, because the scripture says, humble yourself before the Lord, that in due season, God can exalt you. If you feel a little crouched down in the manger or the creche of your circumstances this morning, if you feel a little bit in between the promise and the possibility, let me speak to you from this story the truth that God says, humble yourself. Don't despise them. In fact, embrace the humility. Embrace the humbling circumstances, and know that it is a scriptural pattern that is proven true through all generations, that if you will humble yourself in due time, God himself will exalt you. If you've just walked through sin, if you've just walked through a cave, if you've just walked through a despondency, and you feel humbled like the baby Christ in a creche or a manger, when maybe you don't have the money in your hand you want, and maybe it's a humbling time, let me assure you that nobody in December of 1983 knew that little girl living in that house, working three or four jobs, making ends meet by this, that, and the other, and thought her gift was not going to be used. No one knew in those moments of humility what God was doing. I don't profess to be somebody great today, but I do profess to serve a great God who has used her gift even when people said, I could not. And the same, come on somebody, give him praise, because the same is true of you and I. You may feel like your gift is on the back burner. You may feel like you may never use your gift, but in an unexpected moment, God chooses places like Nazareth, the dead end center of no promise of spiritual activity, to break into the scene with an angel and a promise and the power of the Most High God to bring the promise into fulfillment. All it takes is one intervention from God. All it takes is for time and eternity to meet, and the kairos and the chronos of time coming together, and God to break into the scene. So you know what? That situation, that humility, let it be used for God, because the humbling comes. So when the promise comes, you've been on your knees so long and you've been humbled on your belly so long, you never take credit, but you give God all the praise, for he alone is worthy to be adored. Somebody bless the Lord. Bless the Lord this morning. That humility worked. That time worked for Mary. It worked for her. So when the promise came, it said, the angel said to her that famous scripture that I was leading into, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Because Mary said, how can this be? How can this be that my children would glorify God when today they're not glorifying God? How can this be that I would be used in the kingdom of God? I'm not speaking of me, but you. How can this be that I'd be used in the kingdom of God? Like I've dreamed in past, though I'm carrying a cargo full of weaknesses and intimidations and distractions and detours, and I'm carrying within myself all kind of things that keep me from thinking the dream would come alive. Pastor Billy Burke spoke something to me about going to a nation prophetically, and then at lunch he said to me, Rhonda, I'm going to call Rick Renner. Rick Renner is the Greek scholar of the universe. I've cut my teeth on every book the man has. He's simple and powerful. Pastor Hank and I eat his books like steak. We love it. He's powerful. He pastors now in Moscow. He pastors an incredible church. He left the United States to start the church. He's doing a marvelous work. He said, Ron, I believe you're supposed to preach for Rick Renner. And I said, oh God, Pastor Billy, please. I couldn't go preach for that Greek scholar. And you know, and he looked at me and he said, you're not going to preach Greek. You're going to do, hallelujah, you're going to wave swords and bring big chairs on the stage, because the Russians are visual people. And when they see you, the power of God will be seen in the visualness of what you're doing. What are you saying? I'm saying with God, nothing is impossible. You know, after that, I began to think about Russia. When I was a little girl, that was the one country besides Vietnam, because I watched too many of those, whatever those movies were, Chuck Norris. Pastor loved them. Too many times they were putting burlap sacks on men's heads with rats eating them. I mean, that was it for me. My Vietnamese people will say to me, why don't you take Jesus to the kingdom? I said, I'll tell you why. Chuck Norris, they just put his name. I'm not taking Jesus to your people. And that's why they're doing my nails. We don't understand. You love Jesus. They're strong Catholics. Why not you take him? And I said, well, you know what? If you can go as my bodyguards and assure me I'm not going to get put in some POW camp. I mean, I just can't let it go. I cannot let it go. And the other thing was Russia. I mean, how many didn't grow up in the cold age? The what do you call that? The what was that? Cold War. How many didn't grow up dreaming of Russians with big hats coming to take you away? They're coming to take you away. I mean, who would ever dream that the man of God wants to give a word and then send me straight to Moscow? And then Tom Moore had to go post pictures on his Facebook of Russia. I was like, I'm not even looking at that. I'm not even going to think about that. I don't even want to read his post about all that. I'm not even going to do all that. I'm just not. But when it comes down to it, you and I are often sent to unbelievable places. They might not sound as scary or grandiose as Russia. Most of my places haven't been. They've been in dark corners. But I've been just as scared. But the promise of God that with God, someone say, with God, nothing will be impossible. So how can we say to him that this thing lands or lives in the land of impossible? And how often do we look into the face of God who does all things well, who fulfills the impossible continually, and say to him, no, this is impossible, when he has proven himself time and time again that when his power overshadows our children, when his power overshadows our life, when his power overshadows our situation, he begins to show us that as long as we are with him, all things are possible. Someone just give him a big shout of praise as if you think you believe it. And in that little house in December 1983, that's the verse God began to whisper to me and speak in sermons and turn the radio on. Nothing is impossible with God. Over and over again, I had no way, and I'm not telling my testimony this morning. You can buy a CD or come to my house and we'll talk about it. But the bottom line is, I knew the only impossible thing was that thing I had put in the category of impossible, and will never do that, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And that would be to go back to my first husband, who is my second husband, in case you're new here this morning. And his name is Pastor Hank Davis. But impossible. We put things in that category of our dreams, our heart's visions for ourselves, for our community, for our church. That manger that day, that manger in Bethlehem, would have never dreamed that the Christ of glory, that God who did not think it too much to get in bed with humanity. What do you mean, Pastor Rhonda? He didn't just want to say to us, I know how you feel. He wanted to feel it with us. He didn't just want to say to us, I know where you've been. He wanted to be there with us. So God clothed himself in flesh and walked as a human so he could get down in the mud with us. See, that little manger, that little creche is like you and I in our hearts and our lives. We can envision that the Christ of glory, the hope of the world, would really not only visit, but begin to move through there. People passing by that day, watching Joseph and Mary go into that cave, that manger, that creche, whatever you want to call it, would have never dreamed that the King of glory was inside that womb. That in that woman's womb was a baby who would crush the head of the serpent. Inside of you and I today, another way to unscrooge our Christmas is to realize that inside of us is the Christ, the hope of glory, who crushes the head of the serpent called Satan, who came to destroy the works of darkness, who came to heal the things we put in the land of impossibility, marriages and relationships, and make something tender that was tough, and make something holy that was unholy, and make something desirable that was undesirable, and bring miracles on the left and the right. We would never dream that in that manger was coming forth, in that baby, the deliverer of the world. And all the time around us, we often forget that that same Christ, the hope of glory, is inside of us. Pastor Jeff, if you would come help me. So what can we learn from this morning? We can unscrooge our Christmas because, you know, I don't know if you, but I always have this experience where I turn on the radio. Oh, I don't like that Christmas song. I don't feel Christmas spirit on that. Maybe I'm the only one, so I'll go to number 5. Oh, I don't feel it on that either. I'll go to number 4. I don't feel it on that either. I'll go to number 3. And most all are Christian except one that plays Christmas music, and I don't feel that Christmas spirit. And I had that experience even after the Great Dinner Theater yesterday and doing all of this and just thinking about God until I landed on David and Nicole Binion that Susan gave me last year on. It was number 3 in my CD thing in my vehicle. And they began to sing, holy, holy. And I was reminded how to unscrooge my Christmas. Is Jingle Bells is fun, and I like that. And I sing it with my 8-year-old, and I like the memories of my family singing that growing up, and I like the memories of the children's Christmas programs that my mother undauntedly put me in every single year, whether I was a donkey or I was the servant of the donkey or I was the angel. She said it doesn't matter what part you play, it's just important that you play a part. And I learned that, and it still lives with me today. And I'm trying to raise my children the same way. It doesn't matter. But all those memories are great. But I found as that Holy, Holy was being played in the car, and as I was focusing on that, I began to realize that the greatest way to unscrooge my Christmas is to realize the promise packed in this scripture. That God is the God who does the impossible. That God got the Messiah, first of all, out of Nazareth to fulfill his word, though nobody knew Mary was there. Then he got the Messiah into Bethlehem because it said, out of you, Bethlehem, will come forth out of the tribe of the lion. He will be the Lion of Judah. I was encouraged to remember that the same God that got the angel to Nazareth, that got the couple to Bethlehem, in spite of all of those who weren't expecting and those who were believing, is the same God who can still work miracles in my life today. In spite of unbelief around me, in spite of things going on inside of me, in spite of the crash of my own humanity, that Christ is being birthed in me. And the same power that brought Christ in Mary and out of Mary is the same power that brings Christ in us. That you unscrewed your Christmas when you pause and you just worship. You pause and you focus. You pause and you realize this won't happen and that won't happen, but what will happen is an incredible Mary invitation to me for Christ to grow in me, because this is a picture of how close Christ will come. Every place that we walk in can be a Bethlehem. He was a fetus in Mary, but he is a force in you and I. He's a force to be contended with, a force of healing, a force of salvation, a force of deliverance. And I think part of God's going along with the world, making a big deal about Christmas, yeah, God just goes along with some things. God preordains many things, but God goes along with things because he works all things to the good of those that love him. And I believe through this season, the way God goes along with it is this, that as this story is told, that every time Mary is seen in a manger, in a homemade creche or a ceramic creche, we have like 17 nativity displays in our living room right now. There's the Middle Eastern one. I tried to categorize them yesterday. There's the ones with no faces. They're the ones with the faces. I mean, they're everywhere. But everywhere I look at them, I'm reminded of this, that that story is used by God today to remind me Christ is a force in me. In fact, say that. Christ is a force in me. Not only to bring about the promise, this awakening in our spirit right now out of this passage. If God could do all of this, if God could get the wise men there, if God could fulfill it, there's nothing that God cannot do. If God could hide him, if God could use the Scrooge of the New Testament, King Herod himself, and deny King Herod's request to kill the child. If God could do all of that, then God can make my life a Bethlehem. God can make my children a Bethlehem. God can make my parents a Bethlehem. God can use humble moments of my life when I feel small. And I say me, I we. When we feel without the promise, when we feel the things that Mary felt, the reproach of carrying a promise that nobody realized, carrying the promise of greater things to come that nobody realized. In those moments, we all of a sudden realize Christ can do that with us. What are some things that we say Christ cannot do? Maybe to those who drink alcohol, it's that I can't stop drinking. Christ can. He lives in you. Maybe to those who can't stop worrying this morning, we say, I can't stop worrying, but Christ can. He lives in you. For those who say, I can't forgive. I can't get restoration in this relationship or forget the past or forsake bad habits. Christ can. For those who say, this morning, I can't get this back the way it was, Christ can. For those who say, I can't figure out where to go from here, Christ can. He's a force inside of you. I said in our prayer today that 3 billion people in the world live off of $2 a day. My final moment before we take communion, and I'll tell you, Dean, how we're going to do this in a moment, but I was thinking about miser and thinking about Scrooge being a miser. Miser is just one letter off of misery. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "For those who are rich in this present age, you ought to walk humbly." Are you rich in this present age? You are. I'll tell you why you're rich in this present age, because 3 billion people live on $2.50 a day, less than 3.5 billion people. These people of, Paul says to Timothy, those that are rich in this present age ought to remember others. And in the movie Scrooge, one of the ghosts of Christmas past, now I'm not advocating talking to ghosts, I'm not advocating anything about ghosts, I'm just using this as a point. This ghost of Christmas past says this incredible statement to Ebenezer. And I couldn't pull it out of my memory in the few minutes I had to think this through, the statement. But can I tell you it in Rhonda's verbiage, what it said to me? The ghost of Christmas past said, "All my life I walked through the hurting. All my life I walked through the poor. All my life I walked through those who had nothing. Those living in manger that I didn't have rooms for. Those that I didn't open my heart to." And I realized what a wasted life I had. What are some things you can do practically to unscrew your Christmas? Well, number one, you can help a needy person in a foreign country. How can you do that at this point? By partnering with us, to partner with the children in Haiti. Giving is off just ever so slightly. I got a report this weekend, but they're making it and they're doing well. You can help your neighbor. You don't have to be your neighbor's savior, but just be a neighbor. You can just be Christ to someone around you. You can think of somebody that doesn't have anything instead of focusing on all that we don't have and make, as Pastor always says, something happen for somebody else. When you do that, it's amazing the effect. Receiving things from people is such a blessing, but giving to people, the Bible commends such blessings. You can do that by unscrewing your Christmas by considering those around you. We're going to begin to bring down the lights. I'm going to ask Mike and Josh and Leanne to get in their place, and I'll pass off the mic to you, Brother Mike, if you don't have one in just a moment. Dean, I'm going to ask you to come. How many communion trays do we have? You have two. If you would come, and Pastor Bryce would come with you, and one stand on each side. This morning, as we get ready to take communion, what we're going to do is focus just a moment. The hope of the world was inside Mary's womb. The hope of my better day was inside of her womb. And all she had to do was surrender, and she changed the world. She said, "Be it according to your word." The hope was in her womb. The hope of restored marriages this morning was in her womb. The hope of your children's prosperity was in her womb. The hope of healing and life and blessings and the hope of morning coming after night when there's weeping was in her womb. The hope was there. The Messiah, Christ. Thank you, Pastor Bryce. The promised one, and Dean, if you'll come over. The promised one was in her womb. Jesus, the Messiah. What does he mean to you this morning? What have you received from him this morning? The greatest way to unscrew your Christmas and take the bah humbug out is to pause on the miracle, the miraculous, and Christ, the Lord. That's what brings you back to holiness. That's what brings you back to awe. If you've lost the awe and the wonder, what brings you back is a fresh awareness. God really did break through the heavens. God really did go past the unbelieving. And he put his son in the womb of Mary. God did the impossible because God said he would do it. And God did it by his own power. No one helped him. God did it himself. And this morning as we take communion, we are reminded that the awe we have over that is the same awe we can have of anticipating that when the angels sang to the shepherd, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace and favor to all men whom God has smiled upon." One translation says, what that means is glory to God, the goodness of God, expectation an anticipation of what God can do. When we read this story, when we take communion, our spirit should arise and awaken to expectation. If he did all of this, what what more can he do for you and I? Come on, somebody. If he did all of this, anticipation and expectation should awaken fresh in your spirit. When you drink of the juice that is symbolic of his blood and the bread of his body, your spirit should awaken, and you should not say that anything, come on, somebody, that anything is impossible with God, because nothing is impossible with him. You should awaken with your spirit that he can do all things, and you should awaken that this Messiah, this hope of the universe, lives in you. He is the world's hope in you. And fresh and anew, we should unscrooge our life this morning by saying, as I eat of this bread and I drink of this blood, Lord, let the awe of you come fresh to me this morning. And let that awe so fill my spirit and my heart that I'm looking to be Jesus with skin on. I'm looking to see who can I breathe hope into. Who can I go among and awaken the same expectation? Mike, Leanne, and Josh are going to sing this one time, and we're not going to move. For the duration of that song, we're going to sit here, and I want it to be your private holy moment. Can you schedule one? I don't know. But you can schedule a moment to pause and think about him. And in these 4 minutes, if you want to watch them, that's fine. But if you want to close your eyes and just focus on him, see him in the manger and see him at the right hand of the Father. And when they're done singing, I'll come and get communion, and I want you to come at that time. You can come as individuals, as families. You come and take the bread from one of these gentlemen. You dip it in the juice, put it over your hand, partake of it, and then go to your seat. And they're going to sing it one more time. But the first moment, few moments, I want us just to sit and make it holy. Father, right now, we welcome your Holy Spirit. We welcome the awareness that comes from communion. We welcome the awareness and the awe that comes from the story. You really did this, God. Awaken our spirit. The Christ child, with him, nothing is impossible. Lord, you are our Messiah. Nothing dwells in the land of impossible. Awaken our faith, O Holy Spirit, of all the things that we can receive from you because you're in us, and all the things we can give to this hurting world. Awaken, Holy Spirit, awareness that you are with us, and our callings, our gifts, each of us that are so tangible and valuable, each one of us can be used in the way that we dream, Lord, that when the promise is fulfilled, the energy comes. And for every weak and tired person this morning, Lord, bring strength, bring hope. For every person, Lord, that's making it through, Lord, bring hope. And for those who are on the mountain and feeling joyful, bring even more hope, Lord, and more of awareness in their strength that you are with them. Jesus the Messiah, our hope is in you this morning, in Jesus' name.
so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
Moment, we thank you, Lord, for the power of your blood and of your body. Lord, we bless what we have taken, and we thank you, Lord, that you are alive in us. And Lord, for anyone this morning that may be away from you, Lord, or has not confessed you as Lord, we pray, Lord, that their hearts would be turned to make things right with you. That whosoever confesses with their mouth and believes with their heart will be saved. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. You can be seated just for a moment. We'll bring up some of the lights. And thank you so much, guys, for the beautiful song. Didn't they do awesome? Very amazing. Very tight. Very tight harmony. Very beautiful. That incredible playing this morning. But it's been an awesome day. And it's now time to say goodbye for this season and to come back next Sunday. And we pray that you'll have an awesome and wonderful week. And it'll be blessed.